Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
You guys are in for a treat because first service didn't even get to hear the message today. God had another plan for first service. And one of the things that I want us to be thinking about as we're in this series called Echoes of the End. And one of the things that God really put on my heart this week is that where we're living right now isn't the end. Like, do you hear me? Like, this isn't all there is. Like, if this was all there was to look forward, I'd be like, what's the point? Right? Come on, think about this. Living in this world, what we're living in right now, if this was as good as it gets, that's not good, right? That is not good, okay? But there is, for those who love and follow Jesus, there is so much more waiting for us. Like, we should be filled with excitement. And honestly, Jesus wanted us to know that this is not the end. There's so much more. And in this series, we are like in the final days of Jesus being like before he died. And he took his disciples back to the Mount of Olives. And he's like, let me tell you guys about what's coming. I want you to know this is not the end. This is not all there is, okay? And the messages are like circle around this teaching of end times, the last days. I remember growing up, anytime a pastor would teach about this, I mean, it was like scary. And they would like teach fear and like, this is what's going to happen and it's going to be awful. I mean, it would be so frightening for me. I want you to know something. Jesus didn't teach this to scare the hell out of us. Do you hear me? His intention was not to scare us so much that we have to obey him. His intention was to ignite an excitement, an anticipation that like, listen, this fallen, this cursed, this sinful world is not all that's waiting for you. I have so much more. And it's gonna get a little bit worse before it gets better, okay? His intention was to educate us, educate his followers, so that we could make educated decisions on how we're going to live our life, right? And he wanted us to know the signs of what's happening and to live our lives accordingly. Today, we're going to talk about three specific events that Jesus is talking about in this passage. Pastor Jason, in his message last week, highlighted, like, without him saying what it was, he talked a little bit about, in the passage that he preached on, he talked a little bit about one of them. That was the tribulation, the hard times that are coming. But Jesus is talking in this passage today about the tribulation, the rapture of the church, and the second coming of Christ, and they are three very different events, okay? If you are not currently walking with Jesus, if you aren't currently following Jesus, this should rightfully make you a little nervous. Like, ooh, I need to get my life right, okay? If you are a follower of Jesus, this should make you excited and filled with some anticipation. Like, this is coming, okay? There should be an acceleration in our hearts. I'm going to read to you the whole passage, and then we're just going to break it down a little bit, okay? And I'm going to go back and read a little bit of what Pastor Jason read last week and then read the rest of it. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse 21, and we're going to read all the way through verse 36, okay? So if you have your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 24. If you don't have your Bible, follow along on the screen, okay? So here's what it says. This starts with what Pastor Jason read last week. For there will be a greater anguish than at any time since the world began. And it will never be so great again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. Then, if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen one. I want to stop. This is not in my message. I want to stop right there where it says to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Okay, first of all, who is his chosen ones? Us. If you choose God, he chooses you, okay? You're a chosen one. And Jesus said, people are going to try to deceive you if possible. Let me tell you something. If you're following Jesus, it's not possible to be deceived. You want to know why? Because you have God's Holy Spirit living in you. When you step into relationship with Jesus, Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. He gives you discernment, conviction, and an ability to recognize right from wrong, evil from good. Okay? So, listen, it's not possible to be deceived if you are following Jesus. Okay? All right. Keep going, Paula. All right. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't go bother and look. Or look, he's hiding here, don't believe it. For as lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures show there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the Son is near. The end is near. Immediately after the anguish of those days, so Jesus is talking back up about this time of great anguish. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, and the stars will fall from the sky. All the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. And there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet. And they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the heaven, of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. Okay, so in that whole five paragraphs, Jesus is teaching about the last days of this age. In this chunk of scripture, he's talking about three events. The rapture of the church, the tribulation, and the second coming of Christ. And I listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. I had to reel myself in this week because there is a lot of scripture. There is a lot that I could say about all of these things. And here's what I want you to know. Read the Bible. Okay? Read the Bible. I do not have time to read all the passages in the next 20 minutes. As to as to what supports what I'm about to tell you, okay? But read the Bible. Read the Bible. Amen. All right, so here's the first thing you need to know. And Jesus said this. There is going to be a period of great suffering. Pastor Jason read last week in Matthew 24, starting in verse 19, how terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be a greater anguish than at any time since the world began, and it will never be so great again. What Jesus is referring to is the seven-year tribulation period. Paula, how do you know? How do you know that's like it's going to be 7 years? Because it's in the Bible. Okay, so go and read the Bible. It is. It's a seven-year period. It's divided into two halves, 3.5 years each. The second half of that, the second 3.5-year period, is referred to as the Great Tribulation. So the second half is going to be even worse than the first half. Okay? This is going to be a time of suffering that is like no other, that has never happened in history before. So if we just read the ancient history in God's word, the Bible, just read this ancient history, there was horrendous suffering, okay? There was wars, plagues, famines, droughts, floods, hostile imprisonments, murders. Okay, all here. That's a lot of suffering, right? That was just the events of ancient times. Listen to this stat. Since the turn of the 20th century, that's 1900. So since 1900, over 150 million people have lost their lives due to war. Just to war. 150 million people. To put that into perspective, I was looking like, what can we, there it is, okay. What can we like attribute this to? So I was like, well, most of us know the geography of the United States. If you don't, you should. We live here. You should know the geography of the United States, okay? So if you were to take the seven most highest populated cities in the United States, it would equal about 150 million people. So let me tell you what those are. California, Texas, Florida, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Ohio. Those are the seven most populated states in the United States, gone since 1900, just due to death and war. I was trying to like figure out what it would be like from the West Coast states. Listen, over half of the United States would be wiped out. Okay? Because most of our population is on the East Coast. All right? That's just death in war since 1900. Not talking about anything else, about people who are gone. And this time, Jesus said, this time of calamity, of tribulation, is going to be even worse than that. Right? What's one of the biggest things that we face that we've been like trying to rectify in the United States? Racial hatred, bigotry. It's going to be even worse. Think about that. Even worse. Worse than the Holocaust? Worse than slavery? Worse. There will be a time of greater anguish than since any time the world began. And you want to know what else? During that time, people will still be able to surrender their lives to Jesus. Do you hear me? During that time, people will still be able to surrender their lives to Jesus. And also, the chosen will be spared. Did you hear Jesus say that? It's not going to be as bad for my chosen ones. He said, in fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, not a single person will survive. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. I already said this. I'm going to say it again. God chooses those who choose him. Okay? If you've chosen Jesus, he chooses you. You're his chosen one. Okay? This rescuing of his chosen ones is known as the rapture. He will return in the clouds for his followers who have died and who are currently alive. What do you mean, the ones that have died? Listen, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 to 17, it says this: "We tell you this directly from the Lord." This is Paul and the person who's writing, he's Paul's scribe. "We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves." This is going to be an incredible event to witness. Listen, I don't know if I will be one who is living or one who has died, but here's what I know. Everyone who has been dead and buried is going to resurrect from their grave and be reunited with their spirit. That's incredible. That is incredible. I mean, like, listen, my brain, my mind was doing all kinds of things. Like, I'm thinking of, like, my own loved ones who have been, like, cremated, like, to just, like, see their ashes, like, come and, like, be reunited with their spirit. And, like, that's supernatural. Yeah. Graves cracked open, urns broken. Those who have died get to go first and get reunited with their spirit and be reunited with Jesus. And then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Woo! This is exciting, okay? I want to hone in on this word, this phrase that says caught up. We will be caught up in the clouds with him. Because the word rapture is nowhere in the Bible, okay? It's nowhere in the Bible. You're not going to find it anywhere in the Bible. But let me explain to you where this word came from. First of all, the word caught up, the phrase caught up originates from the original Greek word, because the Old Testament was originally written in Greek, and it derives from the word harpazo. That means, that word harpazo means this: snatching someone out of a dangerous situation or snatching someone out of danger just in the nick of time. That was the word. Together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be harpazo, snatched up, rescued, just in the nick of time. Now, one of the ancient theologians who was translating scripture came up with another word that sounded familiar, sounded similar to rapture, and that is where that term comes from, rapture. Okay? It all stems from that word harpazo. So here's what I'm deducing from this. There's going to be the blast of a heavenly trumpet. Jesus is going to appear in the sky. Those who have died while following Jesus are going to raise up from their graves. And those who are still alive are going to be snatched up. And this all happens in like a microsecond of human time. Okay? The Bible says that it happens, it's a twinkling of an eye. Do you know every time you blink, your eye twinkles like 3,000 times? Okay, think about that. A single twinkling of an eye. Boom. That's, you can't wrap your head around that, can you? Because our time isn't like God's time. He doesn't function on human timeline. So when we set apart our timeline, like, God, I need you to work in this way, he's like, I don't understand that timeline. I don't work that way. That's not how I operate. Amen. Right? His time doesn't look like our time. Our time does not look like his time, and neither should we want it to. Yeah. Right? Now, here's the big debate among people. Is this time of rapture, this snatching up, this rescue mission from Jesus, is it before this period of great suffering? Is it during, in the middle of it? Or does it come after the time of great suffering? This is a big debate among believers, okay? I will tell you this. Everything I read and how I understand it points to happening before the suffering begins. Does that mean I'm right? Nope. It's just, it's how I'm comprehending it. It's how I'm understanding it. But here's what I do know. We know it'll be before it ends because Jesus said it'll be cut short for his faithful ones, right? This is not a question for us to become divided about. Do you hear me? It's not a question for us to become divided about. Here it is. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone also has, never mind, I'm going to go, okay? Listen, everyone has an opinion. And they all stink, right? Okay? I was listening to a podcast this week. It was by John Bevere, and him and his son were on it. And John was talking about this. And they were talking about how, like, people can become divided over their opinions on when this event will happen. And his son kind of got giddy, and he was like, Dad, tell him. And John said, listen, my own wife and I don't agree on this. Lisa Bevere is married to John Bevere. Both of them have incredible ministries, like, apart from each other. John is a humongous minister to men. Women. Lisa is a humongous minister to women and into intercession. John has the belief, has the opinion that this is going to happen before the tribulation begins. Lisa has the opinion that it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. And you know what he said? He goes, and we go to bed happy with each other every night. Who cares? Who cares? All I know is this, it's going to happen. And I'm supposed to be ready. And I'm supposed to be ready. And I'm supposed to live in a way that brings others to Christ with me. Plain and simple. Who cares? Amen. Who cares? Another thing that Jesus said is false prophets will declare his return. Because when he raptures his church, he's not actually returning to the earth. He's not going to set feet back on the earth at that time, okay? When he does set his feet back on the earth, that's it. Game over. Time's up, okay? And Jesus said that there's going to be false prophets that say, oh, the Messiah is out here. The Messiah is out here. Jesus said, listen, the Messiah is only coming twice, and I'm here right now. And when I come back, there's going to be a clear sign. You're not going to need anyone to tell you that I'm here. You're going to know. This is what Jesus said. He said, there will be no mistaking when he comes. Nobody will need to announce it. He will announce himself. This is how he's going to do. Jesus is going to return on earth. It's called the second coming of Christ. And when he physically steps back on the earth, the end of our passage, Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31, it says, immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will give no light. Well, there's some signs, right? The stars will fall from the sky and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then at last, the sign of the Son of Man is that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. Okay, listen, I don't know what this is going to look like, but this is what I envision it as, okay? When I read this, the sign that the Son of Man is coming is going to shine in a dark sky. It's like the Batman symbol, right? Like when Gotham needs Batman, it's like, and everyone can see, like, that's what I envision. Like, oh, there it is. That's the sign. Right? I don't know. That's how I put understanding to it, okay? This happens after the tribulation period. There will be no mistaking that he's coming. And it says deep sadness will come to people. Why? Why would deep sadness come to people when they see, like, he's coming back? Here it is. He's about to set foot. Here's where it is. The minute he puts foot back on this earth, time has come to an end. The time for repentance is over. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. And all of those people who have turned to Jesus are going to know now it's too late for anyone else. Man, I've been talking to this person. I've been trying to get them. And now it's too late. Here he is. Here he is. Great sadness. Here's what I want us to do. Don't obsess over the timeline. Don't obsess over the timeline. Jesus said, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the hour, the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in the sky or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. You and I will never know the date. Like if you hear someone say, oh, this is when Jesus is coming back. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. That would go against what Jesus said. No one is going to know the day nor the hour. But what did Jesus say in this passage? He said, when you see the fig tree come into leaf, you know summer is coming. He said, you're going to know the season. You're going to see some things. You're going to, ooh, the seasons, we're in the season, okay? When Jesus said, this generation will not pass until this before this happens, the generation that he's referring to is the church age. The church age started as soon as Jesus ascended into heaven. It was the beginning of the church age. The church age will end the minute Jesus puts his feet back down on the ground. Okay? Here's what I know. I personally have a feeling that the leaves are on the tree. The season has started. The time is close. And as I say that, I know that generations before me have said the same thing. But I feel it. Listen, here's what I was reminded of this week. You guys don't know Jason's parents real well, okay? Jason's dad likes to always have something to like be worried about, be concerned about, okay? And when Jason's mom decided, like, I want us to start a family, Jason's dad's big worry was like, I don't want to have kids in this world. This world's terrible. And Jason's mom said, oh, Dennis, it's fine because Jesus is going to come back before they ever reach kindergarten. She says that. She jokes about it all the time, right? And here we are. Jason has grandchildren, right? We're not going to know. Here's what I know. Time is a lot closer today than it was yesterday. And time will be a lot closer tomorrow than it is today. And my job and your job is to be ready. Live every day with the readiness for Jesus' return. Every day. Quickly repent for the things he points out. Quickly repent. Don't walk in unrepentant sin. Forgive those who have hurt you. Don't walk in unforgiveness. I invite everyone just to bow their heads with me right now. If you're in this room and you know you've been walking around with unrepentant sin, you are not walking hand in hand with Jesus, walking towards eternity with him. Maybe you have asked, you have repented and you've come to into a relationship with him before and you've been walking the opposite direction. Or maybe you have never walked in repentance and you've never walked in relationship with him. Right now, I just want to give you the opportunity to say, Jesus, I repent. I need you. If that's you today and you need to step into relationship with Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand right now. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Come on. That's right. That's right. I'm just going to invite everyone to stand with me. And those that raised your hand, here's what I just want you to say. Jesus, I repent. All of us together. I recognize that without you, I am walking the wrong direction. I invite you to take my hand and lead me on the path to eternity. Where you lead, I will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raised your hand today and you need to get accountable, I want you to see Jeremy, Angie, whoever else is back there at Next Steps. Go talk with them. Listen, that's the big thing about people walking in relationship with Jesus is we become accountable to each other. So listen, don't say yes to Jesus if you're not willing to be accountable to other believers. Sorry, it's the truth. It's the truth. We hold each other accountable. It's what we're supposed to do. That's what we do, okay? Listen, spend every day. Spend time allowing Jesus to search your heart. Is there anything in me that's keeping me from walking in full relationship with you? What is it? What do I need to surrender? Because when the time comes, I know I want to be snatched up, right? I want to be snatched up. I don't want to have to wait until I see the bat sign in the sky. All right, Father, thank you for just reminding us that we're supposed to live every single day ready for you, ready for that snatch. Father, I pray that we leave here with the anticipation that you're coming soon. We need to be ready and we need to bring others with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. We will see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.